This is John's gem, number 25, drawn from John chapter 6 and verse 13, on the subject of more extravagant grace. What a scene! 5,000 men, plus women and children. Matthew emphasizes that they were not part of the count of 5,000 men, so perhaps more than 10,000 people on a hillside in the country, late in the day, food brought with them, all eaten up, stomachs rumbling. Where on earth could they all get anything more to eat? It was not even likely that they would be able to get enough in the small village bakeries round about. Why, for goodness sake, had they been led out to this place? Time to start moaning about their leader, perhaps? Where should we get food for them? Jesus asked his disciples. But he wasn't really interested in food for hungry stomachs, so much as the kingdom strength, spiritual strength, invisible strength, needed to call people to follow him to a fuller, better way of living. So the great miracle of food, the great sign of who he was, came from one small lunch pack, 5 buns and 2 fish. All the fish was soon eaten up. Some bread was left over, plenty of it, 12 baskets full. Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted, he said. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. I wonder what they did with the bits and pieces. Tomorrow's breakfast, bread and butter pudding, food for the birds, also part of the creation and the kingdom. We shall never know. It is extravagant grace in the gift of bread. Remember, some time ago, looking at chapter 2, we recognized extravagant grace in the gift of wine. Bread and wine, both given in rich, abundant, extravagant grace. Remember that next time you're at the Lord's table. But in a way, it all went wrong. It was an outpouring of rich grace to all these folk, but they did not take it in the way it was meant. Instead of recognizing it as the rich grace of a new king of the kingdom of God, they reckon this indicated that Jesus was their longed-for war leader against the Romans. So we have to read, Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Our most likely equivalent of that is simply wanting Jesus to do something for us, for our pleasure and our good. No. He is the king, and what he does is for his glory. It is just rather wonderful that his idea of his own glory is giving grace gifts to us. We do, however, know what it was all about. Jesus had organized things so that he would be able to talk about the more important things of life, as he does at length towards the end of this chapter. It wasn't what he did for the crowd that was important, but what he did and what he was about to do for the individual. It was individual stomachs that were rumbling, and individual stomachs that he satisfied. In much the same way, we can get very down spiritually and in our general attitudes to life, and we do that individually. Our nearest and dearest may be full of happiness and the joys of living, while we are the exact opposite, really struggling with life, and generally unhappy. We can get very lonely in the middle of a crowd of people. Life can go for wrong, for you, for me, for anyone, in spite of having a great crowd of people all around us. And all those people may be no help at all. But Jesus touches the individual. Nicodemus, the unnamed woman by the well, the desperately worried father, the cripple by the pool, you, me. How he does it we cannot see, any more than the disciples could see what was happening in the bottom of the baskets as they took the bread and fish round that vast crowd. But he does, through the quiet, invisible touch of the Holy Spirit. Rejoice and be glad.